shiurei pas she'achlu im hagidina. How do we define the shiurei pas? Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Igros Moshe, Chelk Yeredeya, Siman Ramechet. If you're talking about a bread, are we talking about dafka, the, and one has on the table bread, part of which is sliced and part of which is not yet sliced, but it's all on the table. Does one have to change even the bread that had not been sliced? And basically, Rav Moshe says, no, only the smaller pieces, not the larger pieces, but Yavola Bracha, someone moves everything. In other words, the question is, by us, usually it's not so much the bread, although it is a question of bread as well, but all the other things that are on the table. If you have Tchina, Chumas, you have salads on the table, can you simply just move them into a different kli and put them on the table for Biseri? So, simply in terms of Mar Makomos, mentioned the Tshuva of Igros Moshe, in the Aruch HaShulchan, he deals with this in Siman Peitet, Sif Katan Tesvav, and in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Basar V'Cholav that I mentioned, Halacha L'Maisa, is very, very useful. On pages Peivav and Peizayin, he has a whole list of various things that could be on the table. Again, basically the rule is that if it's possible that, it's just common sense, if it's possible that either the Gvina or the Cholav came in contact with that which is on the table, it should be changed. If the likelihood is not that way, it doesn't have to be changed. But there are all sorts of variations. Excuse me? B. Asar le'echol gevina al mapa she'ochlu bo basar. V'chein lehefech asur. You should have separate tablecloths for milchiks and fleishiks. Over here, Pisle Tshuva, Sifkot and Ches, he points out that nowadays to have separate tablecloths is a minhag, as opposed to the time of the Shulchan Aruch, you were dealing with an Iser. Look at Pisle Tshuva, he points out, Ayim ha-shekosav ha-radvaz, shekosav she'en v'divri harav elo kishehen minichin basar v'hagvina al ha-mapa. That was before they had plates. Before they had plates, so the mapa, that would be the sort of a communal plate. V'az yeshalach l'shem yidbeku zeh v'zeh, as we'll speak about in the beginning of Siman Tzadi Aleph. Avo minageinu lavi koma achal al ha-shulchan v'karot. Now the mapa is basically something you don't put food on. It's something that you put bottles on, you put silverware on, but the food you put on plates. Anyways, then it would be enough simply to be sure that there's no be'en floating around, just to shake off the tablecloth, because it's not something that normally there would be mudbar. But again, our minhag is to change the surface of the table as well, even if it's very unlikely that you'd have a bed on the surface. The kol shekein, third halacha over here in terms of the harchakos between basar v'cholav, she'asar lachtoch gvina afilu tzonenes besakin shirgin lachtoch basar, v'lo'od el afilu hapat she'ochim ima gvina asar lachtoch besakin shechotchim v'basar, says the Rama, v'chein lehefech namei asar, umiyu ayodei ne'itza v'karaka kasha shari. The moment we see the word of Ne'itza, this brings us back, as you recall, to Siman Yud. And we pointed out over there that when we're dealing with knives, we can theoretically have two problems. We can have one problem in terms of Be'en, in terms of the Shuman Tuach Alpanav, and the second in terms of Belia, that a knife has a characteristic of Duchta de Sakina, and Duchta de Sakina, when it is combined with other factors, can create a Belia up to Kidei Klipa. And that the Ne'itza would solve both problems. It would remove whatever Shamnunis is Tuach Alpanav, and it would also either remove the Kedei Klipa of the knife, or what it would do is prevent a Blia of Kedei Klipa from that knife. Which of these problems are we dealing with over here in terms of the knife and the Basar and the Gvina? So that this Machlokes Aviyut in the Taz and the Shach. The Taz points out that to get rid of the Shuman Tuach Alpanav, the Chori, you don't need Ne'itza. It would be enough to have Kinuach, simply to wipe off the knife. When do you require Ne'itza? Ne'itza is when you're dealing with a problem of a Blia, of Kedei Klipa. And here, in our situation, there's no heat. We're talking over here, L'chora, about cold meat, about cold cheese. That's what he says. Lachtoch gvina afilu tzonenet. So we're talking over here about cold. So the only time that you would get a blia, we'll see a little later on, Hilchos Basar V'Cholav, is when you have a combination of Duchta de Sakina and Dover Charif. So that would be a very unusual situation, A. B, it certainly wouldn't apply to the pot. If we're talking about the pot, we're dealing with a not bar not the hetera. In other words, first you cut cheese, let's say even with a davar charif, and then you would go ahead and cut the bread, and then you have a question whether you could use this bread with meat. That would be a not bar not the hetera. So therefore, says the Taz, that l'chora, in other words, we can simply ignore the psak of the Ramah. And kinuach would be enough to get rid of whatever the machaber is talking about. Of course, the machaber is talking about be'en. In a situation of be'en, even in soning, you have a problem of be'en. There's no heter of not bar not by be'en, but not bar not is no same tam bar no same tam. It's dealing with ta'amim, with brios. If there's be'en, there's no heter of not bar not. So if we're assuming the machaber is talking about a case of be'en, then you don't require ne'itza to get rid of the shanunis tuach alpanav. It will be enough to have kinuach. That's the svara of the Taz. The Shach, however, points out in the Gus HaKesef, no, that that we need that even on the level of the Be'en, over here we need Ne'itza. Why? So as he pointed out in Siman Yud, that when you have a case of Tashmish O Tadir, then the Shamnunis won't come off via Kinua. Greasy spoon, it won't help to simply to wipe off the grease. There you're requiring the itza to get off of the grease which is embedded deeply. And so if we have a problem of shanunis tuach al panav, then it's even by tzonein, then it's even in the world of, sorry, if you have a problem, then you don't require davar charif, then there'd be no heter of not bar not, and so we can learn the machaber and the ramah kipshutam. Okay, so we have over here, so according to the Taz, we're talking about a problem of blia the moment you have ne'itza. So you have to set up a zukimtos with davar charif, and it wouldn't work for the pot. But according to the Shach, we're dealing over here on the level of shenunis tuach alpanav with tashmish o tadir, and then we can read the machaber and the Ramah straight through. The Ramah concludes, avot kfar nahagu kol Yisrael yoslehem shnei sakinim v'lirshom efad mehem shiyehehu lo heker. The nahagu, if you have to choose what should be the conventional manner of marking, nahagu lirsham shal chalav, if you have silverware and you have one pattern, one silverware with a pattern and one silverware which is without a pattern, so the bisari should be without a pattern and the chalavi should be with a pattern, nahagu lirsham ala chalav. That's a cute way of remembering that you have a pasuk by David HaMelech, and when the brothers went to bring Shaul various gifts from Yishai. So it speaks over there about charitze chalav. Charitz has a meaning of indentation. It also has a meaning of some sort of a food. So the chalav has the charitz in it. You know, if you're going to have an institutional kitchen and make holes in the silverware, you make holes in the milchic silverware, not in the fleshic silverware. That way everyone will know around the world that this is chalavi and this is bisari. The Aruch HaShulchan points out over here that we have a minhag which goes beyond the minhag of the Ramah, and not to have a separate bread knife. Not to have, not simply to use a fleshik knife for the bread when you're cutting for fleshiks and milk knife you cut for milchiks, but to have a bread knife. You know, the bread should basically remain parva, and you have this parva bread knife, and everyone will be happy. Okay, that's what we have over here in Siman Peites. Again, some more hachakot. In terms of not inadvertently coming about to be eating basar v'chalav simultaneously. Siman Sadi, Dine Khal, we move over to the world of basar v'chalav midrabanan. Hakhal, Perush Hadad Shelabeima, the other, Asur Midivre Sofri. What's the problem over here? She'ein basar shenis basar v'chalav shluta, Asur Menatara. Here, this is the case that we saw of chalav shluta, that the chalav is going to come out of the udder only post shlita. And this is not considered to be chalei v'imo on a doraisa plane. So we're dealing with an Easter drabana. And we have over here all sorts of details about how to solve the problem of this chalav midrabana. And within the Machaber and the Ramah, we find two very, very basic machlokot. And the question is, are these two machlokot linked or are they not linked? The first machlokis is the assumption of the Machaber in Sif Aleph, that if avar u'bishlo bifnei atzmo, mutar lo'ochlo. that the whole problem of Cholav Shkuta in terms of the Kchal is in terms of the Cholav coming out of the Kchal and asering other meat. However, if you were to take a Kchal itself, put it in a pot with water, and cook it up on its own, then there's no problem of Basar B'Cholav even on a Drabanan claim. That's the Psak of the Mechaber, working off of the Rambam. And over here, the Shachrari points out in Sif Katan Aleph that the Rambam, that the Mechaber is quoting the Rambam both in Sif Aleph and in Sif Beis. And so the Rama decided for many of the areas to wait until Sif Beis and then be Magia even on Sif Aleph. So in the middle of the Rama, Sif Beis, where you have the Kaf Gimel of the Gra, or the Chet of the Taz, or the Tetzayin of the Shach, so it says, "Im avar ubishlo b'kedero levado, b'dieved mutar im nikrashti ve'erev etachlu b'koso." That if you went through a process of trying to remove the milk, and then you cook the chal in a pot by itself, it's mutar. Mashma, that if you go ahead and do what the Mechaber said, simply take a raw chal, put it in water in a pot and cook it up, then it's also even b'dieved. That's the diuk of everyone, in other words, of the Taz, of the Shach, of the Gruh. They all point out that over here, the Machaber, the Ramah is cholik on the Machaber head on. That's one machlokas. I will discuss in a minute the reason behind. The second machlokas is that we have an exception in the world of Shishim in terms of Kal, that when you're cooking the Kal with other meat, and we have to see do we have Shishim against the Cholav of the Kal. So we can take into account the basar of the kchal itself. Hakchal min haminyan. That you need 59 times the kchal in terms of meat, and then the chalav of the kchal is mutter, because you have the 59 of the other basar, plus the basar of the kchal itself, that way you have shishim against whatever chalav would come out. Here, what happens if you didn't have shishim? We had a ratio of 1 to 40. And then we take this kchal, and we put it now in a second pot. In other words, first we cook the kal with 1 times 40 meat, namely everything became aser. Then we take the kal and put it in a separate pot. Can again you count the kal as part of the shishim? So the Machaber paskins, im bishlu in basar acher, misharin oso b'shishim u'kal min haminyan. Ketzad, im hoya hakol im akal kamo shishim b'kal, then akal aser, v'ashar mutar. V'im hoya pachos nishishim, hakol benkach u'benkach, im nafal l'kedera akol aser. Benkach u'benkach, im nafal l'kedera acheres, osir osa, u'misharin b'shishim kibarishona. That we're mishayer in the second part also, taking the kachal as being heter, that the kachal, with the basar of the kachal, can be used as part of the shishim of heter. Over here, the Ramah didn't wait until Sif Beis, but even on Sif Aleph points out, yeshomim di im nafal t'kil l'kedera she'en b'shishim v'ne'esar akachal, im nafal acharkach l'kedera acheres, ein akachal mitzarech l'shishim. The Gemara speaks about kachal min haminyan is only in the first kedera. But once the kal became usher, the second kedera, you can't include it as part of the shishim to mevatel the chala. V'chein ikar. These are the two basic machlokot between the Machaber and the Ramah in Siman Sadi. And the Taz understands that these two machlokot are totally unrelated. And we have over here two machlokot, two ekronot in terms of the world of kal and abbas of a chal of midrabanan. The first machlokes, according to the Taz, is a machlokes, what exactly were Chazal Oser when they answered the Cholav coming out of the Kchal? That the Rambam understood, and the Machaber Be'ikvotav, that Chazal only answered Cholav Shkuta klape Basar Acher. They never answered it in the first place in terms of its own Basar. That it's like a maris ayin in terms of its own basar. Everyone knows this is a kal. Everyone knows that this is not chalav ein. But when this is absorbed by other basar, then we view this chalav shluta as being chalav. And therefore, im avar ubishlo bifnei atzmo, just like the kal itself, and you cook it, then it's mutter. It's mutter daraisa, and Chazal never goes there. This is chalav shluta, in which Chazal never goes there. Only when the only time Chazal goes there was in bishlo and basar acher. But not when you're bashal the kal itself. Masha'en came, the Ramah understood that it's true. Were you to eat the kal raw, then Chazal were not oser. However, the moment you have that the chalav is pirish from the kal, and then it goes back in, My nafkamina, whether it goes back into the same chal, or it goes back into other basar, the moment it came out, it went back in, then already it has a status midrabanan of chalav. Right? So as long as it remains in, we point out a number of times, it's like the case of the dam sheba ibarim shalo piresh. When it remains in, so it's considered to be a red form of meat. So over here, as long as the chalav remains in the chal, so it's considered to be part of the udder. However, the moment it comes out, then it has the status of chalav shkuta, and it'll alter even the chal from which it originally came. That's the first machloket between Chachmei Sfarad and Chachmei Ashkenaz. Whether avar ubishul lifnei atzmo is mutar, or avar ubishul lifnei atzmo is aser. And the second machloket, in terms of how do we deal with the chal that was cooked in one kedera without shishim, and now it's being cooked in another kedera, can you count the chal for shishim or not? That's a totally separate machlokes, says the Taz, that this is me'achshav nolad lanu machloket chadasha bein harambam v'harashba shalo huskar v'poskim. That this links in with what we saw back in Siman Sadi Tev, namely that the Rambam over there held that even though basar of b'chalav is basar b'chalav midrabanan, however, it's different than basar b'chalav d'oraisa. Basar b'chalav d'oraisa, we have a din of chaticha nasis nevela. In basar b'chalav d'rabanan, there's no din of chaticha nasis nevela. V'haraya, that if you have a basar of b'chalav 1 to 40, and you want to cook it together, so we say, marbel of a mevatzlo, add another 20. What do you mean to add another 20? We have over here basar v'chalav midrabanan. We cooked basar v'chalav 1 to 40. You can't just add another 20. Now you need 60 times 40. So no, since it's basar v'chalav midrabanan, there's never a chaticha nasis nevela. It always remains that the basar was b'leia 1/40th of its volume in terms of chalav. Add another 20, you'll get it down to 1/60th and it'll dissipate. It'll be meaningless. That's the shita of the Rambam. And so over here also, there's no din of chanan. So even though we have a b'leia in the first kedera into the chal, that the chalav went out and asered all the pieces of meat, including the chal, but there's no din of chanan in isurim drabanan. There's no din of chanan in basar chalav drabanan. So therefore, the chal is min haminyan even in the second kedera. Ma she'en kein derashba holds called the tikkun rabbanon ke'en doraisa tikkun, and therefore we have over here basar b'chalav drabanan. That's the result of the first kedera. Once we have basar b'chalav drabanan, we say chanan. And then we can't count the chal any longer min haminyan. The chal is aser. You need shishim now against the chalav and the chal. You can't count the chal as being part of the minyan against the chalav. And so that over here is the machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah, according to the Taz. That's the second machlokas. That's the me'achshav nolad lanu machlokas chadasha. So we have one machlokas in terms of what chazal were oser in terms of chalav shluta. Did they answer only klapi, other pieces of meat, or once it's piresh, even in terms of the chal itself? And secondly, is there a din of chanan in basar v'chalav drabanan, or isn't there a din of chanan in basar v'chalav drabanan? Nachmina, can you count the chal as part of the shishim in the second kedera? If you can count it, it means there's no chanan in yisur in basar v'chalav drabanan. If you can't count it, it's because there is chanan in basar v'chalav drabanan. However, there's Rabbi Kiva Eger over here. Very beautiful Rabbi Kiva Eger, the second Dibur HaMatzil on the Tazif Katan Dalid, who points out, you don't have to come on to create a whole new machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, that even the Taz admits, Mashiach Huskar Baposkim. Not pitom. Here we're dealing with classic Basar V'chalav Halachos, and that the Machaber is Lushitato, and the Ramah is Lushitato. The Ramah is, let's start with the Ramah. The Ramah is l'shitato, that the moment that the chalav shkuta comes out of the chal, and then it's nivla back into the chal, we have over here a creation of basar v'chalav. That's the nature of chalav shkuta. The moment it comes out and goes back, and even to the same chal, it's considered midrabanan to be chalav. Now we have a creation of basar v'chalav. When we create basar v'chalav, then everyone agrees that you require shishim against this basar v'chalav. This is considered to be chanan and yisur b'fnei atzmo, chaticha nasis nevela, and you require shishim against it. So the Ramah, who says that with the chalav can answer the chal itself, also holds that that chal is now chanan, and in the second kedera cannot be counted any longer as part of the heter. Ma she'en kein, according to the Machaber, the chalav coming out of the kal can never asher the kal itself. That's the nature of chalav shchut. It can never asher the kal itself. What can it asher? It ashers other basar. The chalav coming out ashers basar of other pieces of basar. And then what happens? This basar b'chalav that was created in the other basar now is being nivra by the kal. The kal is being boleya basar b'chalav. It's not being boleya chalav shchusa. It's being boleya basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav, once it's already basar b'chalav, that's like shari surin. And now it's being nivra into yiraka. So it's like you have a yerek which is being boleya nevela. According to the Machaber, this is l'shitato. There's no chanan in shari surim. There's only chanan when you create basar v'chalav, and you can never create basar v'chalav within a kral. Only thing the kral could do is absorb basar v'chalav. You can't create basar v'chalav because Chazal never where goes there that the chalav shluta can turn the kral itself into basar v'chalav. What happens is the chalav shluta goes out. It asers other meat. Then we have that other meat is basar v'chalav drabanan. And now that is absorbed by the chal. So that's the equivalent of a piece of potato absorbing a nevela. A piece of potato absorbing a nevela, according to the Machaber, there's no din of chanan. So over here, the two dinim of the Machaber drama are intrinsically linked one with the other. If you hold that the chal cannot become basar v'chalav with its own milk, then it's as though it's absorbing an iser from the outside. When it absorbs an iser from the outside, there's no din of chanan. So even in the second kedera, you can count the heter as you can count the kal as part of the heter. Masha'en kain, if we view the kal when it absorbs its own milk as this creation of basar v'chalav, so then we have chanan. Once we have chanan, then in the second kedera, we can no longer count the kal as part of the heter. So it's really one machloket working its way through. I won't get involved with the but you can look in the Reb Tivegir itself. He brings a stira to this from Siman Kuf Gimel that we already spoke about, and he points out that even though this is very nice alfi svara, it really doesn't fit in, etc. But I'd like you to remember to just link it into the svaras that we already had discussed. Yes.
Rikivir assumes that the Ramah is holding like the Ramah.
Even if the Ramah holds as din of Chanan by Shari Surim, you don't even have to come on to that.
By Drabanan?
And we always hold Chanan by Drabanan. See, we never saw Jibzin Darais and Drabanan.
Ram is Machalik.
The Rambam is Machalik, but that, you know, so the...
Is every Siddur Ramah
that certainly, yeah, we don't have to, yeah. Yes. We're not Machalik. We're not Machalik. We do Darais and Drabanan. Okay, that was already back in Siman Sadita. So, that's pretty much what we have over here in Siman Sadi. There's just one other point that we already mentioned, but we'll just mention it again. At the end of Siv Gimel in the Ramah mentions Lo Aminan Kavash Kimavushal in the world of Kal. So he pointed out that Taz understood this as a din of Ein Gozrin Gzeira Li Gzeira, that since Kal itself is Basar V'chal V'drabanan, Kavush is also Basar V'chal V'drabanan. Ein Gozrin Gzeira Li Gzeira. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, we have cases in the Gemara of Hay Bar Gozla, not Nafala Kimcha. We have cases where we find a Gzeira L'Gzeira, we find two Drabanans, Basar Oaf and Malicha, etc. And Rabbi Kiyavegar answers is that what the Taz is saying is that we have two forms of Basar V'Chalav Drabanan. One where you have the Chetza of Basar V'Chalav being Drabanan, and the other where you have the means of the creation is being Drabanan. Basar Oaf V'Chalav, the Chetza of Oaf, is Basar V'Chalav Drabanan. Chal, Chalav Shkuta, is Drabanan. And we have another form where we have Kavisha is Drabanan, Malicha is Drabanan. And so in order to be able to say Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira, that's when you have a combination of Chefza Drabanan and Bliya Drabanan. When you have Chefza Drabanan and Bliya Drabanan, then Chazawar never goes there. However, if we have, let's say, two Chefzas Drabanan, Basar Oaf B'Chalav Shkuta, right, or Basar Oaf the Mechalav, that's not called two Drabanans. Now it's only when you have a Drabanan on both planes, on the plane of the Chevtza, and on the plane of the form of Bliya, that's when we say Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira. But if we have simply two forms of Basar V'Chalav on the level of the Chevtza, or two forms of Basar V'Chalav on the level of the Bliya, that's not a din of Basar V'Chalav Drabanan, where we're going to get to a Heter. That was to remain us a Drabanan. Okay, that's Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Taz discussing Yud Beis. Okay, the rest of it is details. Rav Hefter, a number of years ago, I think it was Rav Hefter, put out a chart on the just to have all the variations of without being Korea, being Korea a little bit, being Korea Shtiva Erev B'Tzachol B'Kosel, with Tzli, with Tishlo Levado, with Tishlo Batzer Acher. So if you want, you can throw this at it, return it to me, it'll make life easier for you. So let's move over to Siman Sadi Aleph. Siman Sadi Aleph Din Basar V'Cholav Shenitar V'Ubo Ches Seifim. This, to a certain degree, is sort of like the equivalent of Siman Kufhei that we had in Hilchos Tarovas. That we start over here with the world of Tzoning, then move over to the world of Urteya. So let's start with the world of Tzoning. Basar V'Cholav Shenogu Ze Baze Mutarim. It's like muksa. It's not an iser to touch muksa. It's an iser to move muksa. So over here, it's not an iser of basar and gvina to touch one another. Our problem is that maybe the basar and the gvina will leave a trace of be'en one on the other. So therefore, this problem over here of tzarech lohadiach means to remove the be'en that one would put on the other. When would we have a situation where basar and gvina would likely smear a bit of the end one on the other? So the Shach points out, Kotav Habach Dafka Kishe'echad Mehem Lach Shneihem Yeveshim Afilu Hadacha Ein Tzarech. If they're both dry, there's no problem. There's no bliya. We're talking about cold. And in terms of the end, you need some sort of something to move one from the other. So if one of them is lach, it's likely that one of them would stick to the other. And so you need Hadacha to remove that which got stuck on. That's so you understand, the moment we're dealing with reality, yes, there are other factors that would create stickiness, like butter, right? That butter, if you have dover shuman, even if it's not lach, but it's very likely that if a piece of butter were to touch a piece of schnitzel, that some of the butter would remain, and then hadacha pashas wouldn't work. Then you would need shifshuf. I mean, that this is a question purely of reality. Either there is a problem or there's not a problem. That's what the Ricky Dager points out. Again, the moment you have melach, so then the likelihood is that the melach would cause one to be stuck onto the other, and so you require simply to wash them off. L'chov, yes?
Wasn't there a case in the mitpachas case? And you put them inside, and they are either what's the chiddush or why is it true? Meaning, is it inside one after you put one on top of the other? And they are touching. If they're not touching, then what's the
chiddush? I understand that tachat over here means like a backpack. It means if you're putting food in your backpack for a few days, so if you put the chalav, the cheese over here, you put the basar over here, you don't have to worry that maybe in the course of your traveling they may have touched one another. We don't have a, even if we go there, that we don't put basar and chalav on ashulchan achas. That's what we saw back in Siman Peichet. Lo halot basar al ashulchan shulchan gvina. We don't have such a din in terms of a backpack that you're not. If they did touch one another, then we have this heter of hadasa. They don't have to be choshish at the fact that two of them were in one enclosed area that they necessarily touched one another. We don't make such a gzera that also that not to put them into mitpachat achat shema yigu zebaze. I assume that's what it means. Right? I mean, now we have backpacks. Then they used to have hobos. You know, we have Dr. Jackson. Right. Okay. So I assume that's what the reality is talking about. Okay. Now, if this is true in terms of two pieces, a piece of meat and a piece of cheese, the chora, we should have a similar problem if you were dealing with a plate that wasn't clean. And let's say that you had eaten milk that's on a plate. And now you want to know, can I use this same plate to eat fleishiks on? So you say to yourself, what's the problem? I'll just put the fleishiks on the plate and then I'll wash it off before I eat it. So the Mechaber Paskins, Kol midi the boi hadacha, gon lahaniach basar peter tzonin bekaara shel iser tzonin, or we would say tzuhadin to put basar tzonin bekaara shel cholav tzonin, asar lechatchila. Why? Dilma achil below hadacha. I mean, we're creating a problem. We are on purpose, to a certain degree, having basar and gvina touch one another, not in terms of a piece of basar and a piece of gvina, but rather with an unwashed plate of gvina putting basar on it, or an unwashed plate of basar putting gvina on it, or an unwashed plate of iser putting heter on it, and telling ourselves, well, we'll simply wash it off before we eat. Also, because they don't always wash off food before you eat. Dilma achil below hadafa. V'dafka b'mevusho d'rav urfei b'hadafa. Avomidi d'urfei b'hadafa g'on b'sar chai, chiyotze bo shari l'chatchila. If we're dealing with raw meat that we're going always to wash off before eating, we have raw meat that we're going to be maleach. The process of malicha is a three-part process. First there's hadafa kamaisa, then malicha, then hadafa batraisa. The hadafa kamaisa is generally to soak the meat for a period of an hour before you put the melach on it. So you can take this piece of raw meat, put it on a surface that may have on it shmutz of nedelos or treifos, but who cares? You're going to wash it off for an hour before being maleach it, and we're not afraid that you're going to be maleach without washing, because you can't be maleach without washing. So over there, Chazal didn't make a gzera. However, again, the question is, let's say you go to a picnic table, and you want to take out, you forgot to bring a tablecloth. And you see there's all sorts of shmutz on the picnic table. You have no idea who ate there, what was eaten, etc. So you say, well, I'll take out the schnitzel and put it down on the table, and then before I eat, I'll rub off the schnitzel, I'll wash off the schnitzel, etc. No, we say don't put it down on the table. Don't put it down on the table because you may come to eat it without hadacha, and then whatever is stuck on the table, you're going to be eating as well. Yim ha'ochil below hadacha. That l'chora is the pashtus over here of the Mechaber. And then the Taz over here points out that l'chora, this principle of don't do something, even if it has a takana, because you may forget the takana, this brings us back to Siman Aleph of Hilchos Shchita, where we spoke about, can I give a shochet meat to Shech and only afterwards ask him, does he know Hilchos Shchita? Are we afraid I'm going to forget afterwards? So we pointed out the rule was that if b'dievet I can eat it even without asking him, if the takana is only l'chatchila dika takana, I can give it to him l'chatchila, because even if I miss asking him the questions, b'chol tzad I can eat the meat. And so the Taz gets involved over here, is this halacha over here l'chatchila, is it b'dievet? And he says over here, this is the case of b'dievet, namely that we're dealing over here with be'en of basar v'chalav, or be'en of macholas asuras. You just can't go in and say, well, I'll do it, and if I forget, what's the big deal? What's the big deal if you're going to be eating nevelos and trefos? You're going to be eating the end of basar v'chalav together, which is asar drabana. And so over here we have this zera, which is as dilma ochil below hadacha. The problem now over here, however, is within the Ramah. The Ramah says, v'dafka davar shiyesh bo lachluchis tzas. Abol davar yavesh mamash im lo bala hakli rak betzonein muter lo haniach bo davar yavesh b'lo hadacha klal. What in the world is this Ramah talking about? In other words, where he begins, fine. Dafki b'davar sheyesh bo lachukas tzas, that we pointed out already in the Shach, Sifkat and Aleph, that we need something which is sticky. Lachukas tzas means it's likely something would stick to it. Davar yavesh mamash, maybe we wouldn't say that. However, what's he getting involved over here in lo bala hakli rak betzonein? And what are we worried about? The history of the kli. Now everything is sonein. We're talking about everything currently is cold. Who cares whether this kli was balea tzonein or was balea roteach? What does one have to do with the other? So the Taz over here takes this Ramah in two stages. First, he says there's a Taz in Girsa in the Ramah. You should read the Ramah as follows. The davar davar sheyesh bo lachuchas tzas, avol davar yavesh mamash. Oh, im lo bala hakli rak betzonein, muter lo haniach bo davar yavesh below hadacha klal. It's not one and the other; it's one or the other. So that explains davar sheyesh bo lachuchas tzas. It's like one or the other. So the first part we understand that you require that if you have a davar yavesh, then we don't have to worry. But what's this mean? What's the second part? Oh, im lo balakli rak betzonein muter. So the Taz says that kanirah doesn't explain it. Somebody says that according to the Ramah, that we are concerned somehow not just with a question of devek, but we're also concerned with the question of the history of the kli. That if this kli had been belei baroteach, even if we're dealing currently with something which is cold, then we're afraid that there's going to be a blia from the kli into that which we're dealing with currently. Why? Who? How? The Taz doesn't explain. Simply says that the kanere the ramo is koshesh, namely that according to the Taz, if we were to have a situation where this kli had been beleya cham, and currently we're dealing with something which is lach, that combination of current lach and a history of bliyas cham would be aser. You would have to be mediach the food before eating it. We'd be afraid that something, in some way, would be nivla from the kli into the food. How? It's very, very unclear. The shach, because of this lack of clarity, says that the Rama is wrong. Namely, that if we're dealing with a kli, which is the chorah, if we're talking about bala kli, after some talking about a clean kli, if we're talking about a clean kli, and we're just worried about the history of the kli, then now it's cold. Who cares what this kli was used for in the past? That's totally irrelevant. So therefore, to use a kli that may have been used for Easter in the past, as long as the kli is clean, there's not a problem at all, as long as you're using this kli only occasionally. However, Chazal would answer you to use a kli permanently that had previously been Malaya Easter, even if it's cold, because they wouldn't want this lack of carefulness in terms of using Kalim that had previously been used for Easter. So Halacha L'maisa, the Taz accepts the Ramah, even though it doesn't explain the Ramah, and the Shach doesn't understand the Ramah, so he simply rejects the Ramah. But Halacha L'maisa, this would be the question as to whether you would be able to go into a non-kosher restaurant, let's say purposes of an interview, and order a fruit salad, or simply to go into a Howard Johnson's or whatever they have nowadays on road rest and order a bowl of cornflakes and milk. We're assuming the kalim there are clean. Okay, if the kalim are clean, so what's the chashash? What had this kli been used for in the past? So you're always afraid maybe the kli had been used for hot in the past. According to the Taz, the moment the kli had been used for hot in the past, and now you're eating on a davar lach, that's awesome. Then it means that whatever you're eating requires hadafah. You'd have to take the fruit salad, take a canteen out of your pocket, wash off the fruit salad, and then go ahead and eat it. No one's going to do that. Or how are you going to wash off your cornflakes? In other words, so then according to the Taz, you wouldn't be able to do that. You can't go and eat on a non-kosher plate if maybe it was used previously for cham. And again, I have no explanation for it, no explanation of why it should be, but that's what the Ramah is saying. Maybe this is Chazal where it goes there, according to the Ramah. And so it's also Masha'enken, according to the Shach, as long as you are doing this arai, it's not as though you go every morning into this restaurant and order fruit salad on the non-kosher plate. You're going in once, you have an interview, and you're doing it derech arai. As long as the plate is clean, currently you're eating something cold, who cares that it's lach? Then it would be mutter legamrei. Okay, so over here, this Shach and this Taz, that's the question. If you go into a restaurant, do you have to ask for kli chad pa'ami? Do you have to ask for what's it called? Disposable dishes in order to eat cornflakes or in order to eat fruit salad. Yes? There's no chosev in the idea of having that onion sit on a plate. We'll talk about the fact that by an onion we have a halacha that a davar charif plus duchen de sakina, that combination can transfer Easter. Namely, that were the fruit salad, were it not to be a fruit salad, were it to be a vegetable salad that would contain onion, and the onion was cut with a non-kosher knife, so then the nevela from the knife via the duchu de sakina davachar would go into the onion. And then you'd be eating treifas by eating the onion. But the fact that the onion is sitting on a plate, that wouldn't do anything. So we pointed out that there is a din of kvisha by a davar charif in 18 minutes. Right. So, but then the and
so. I my camel with the
what?
So
yeah, but the Seder, if you were dealing with Kvisha Bedavar Charif, if you were dealing with Kvisha Bedavar Charif, then you would have a problem of the of by getting into a fruit salad is not Charif. What? So a regular salad, you have a different problem in terms of your. I was trying to deal with something that didn't require, you know, that simply.
That's
the Ramah. That's what the Ramah is talking about, though. The Ramah is not talking about any kvisha over here. He's talking about something davar sheish bo lachuchas ktsas. He's talking about simply something happens to have some dampness to it, as opposed to being yavish legamer. Yavish legamer wouldn't pick up from a plate. The lachuchas would pick up from a plate. But lachora, what would the lachuchas pick up? Like in sifalva, pick up the end. And then the hadach will be meaningful. Masha'engen, it picks up bliya. Masha'engen don't pick up bliya. And how would hadach remove bliya? Something is missing in the Ramah according to the Taz. So the Taz tried, I mean, there was damage control. Right? He tried to help the Ramah by at least separating two phrases. At least one phrase will make sense. But the second phrase is very difficult according to understanding of Hilchos Tarovis. Doesn't fit into anything. And so the Shaftim, we rejected the Ramah. Gemara. Yeah?
There's something that even if you don't know for sure, we consider they're only used for cold foods, like ice cream dish.
I guess an ice cream dish in Ben and Jerry's will only be used for cold food, but I don't know necessarily whether that exists in most restaurants that would have something that would be used docked as an ice cream dish.
I can throw it in
what?
Hot fudge.
Hot fudge? No. The key, I'm not
saying. Yeah? If you take these dishes, and they put them in these commercial dishwashers. They don't even wash them off properly. The shulman or the tazer is on the plate. They go inside on one of these washers. They usually eat them about 270 degrees. So, because it is pressurized water, they make it on.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about something that, since it wasn't properly washed, it was, in a sense, cooked with this stuff on.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It bothers me all the time in terms of the airplane. When they serve coffee on the airplane, so they're serving in containers, and the chora, I would tend to assume those containers are also washed in dishwashers right. When they get off, along with all the other plates that are put on, and pashas, it would be baleya, whatever their baleya within, you know, so, you know, you're correct. I mean, b'diyeh, but so, in the dishwasher, there's pashas, there's soap, and so it's not the kind of gum, etc. So b'diyeh, but yitachin, it's okay, but, you know, it's certainly something to, you know, that someone who wants to be mahadir should think about, just, I don't know. I guess you want to say that maybe they wash these separately. They wash only the containers separately, and so there's only coffee, tea, and water that could be in there. Don't know. Okay. Sarach lehizohir sif gimel. Sarach lehizohir shel yiga basar belechem sheim yiga bo asar laochol im gvina v'chein yizohir shel yiga gvina sheim yiga bo asar laochlo im basar. So over here we have a zehirut comes along the shach and says, well, let's be consistent. Sheim yigavo isar laochlo asar laochlo im gvina sif katan dalet b'lo hadacha. Namely, that we pointed out that we have this takana of hadacha. Hadacha removes the end. So you have to put this over here as well into the picture. That we have this heter of hadacha. So in the Pisvei Tshuva, he points out just a minute. Ayein ber hete v'umi divrei hashach, v'ayein primigardim hevi de baknesses hagdola tamal hashach. The tur v'shulchan aruch mashma de ein takana b'hadacha b'lechem shenidbak b'yoser. That hadacha doesn't always remove things. Hadacha sometimes can be worse. If you have bread and you try to wash off a piece of bread, whatever is there is going to go in deeper. However, what we do find, and this is what he says is shot in the shach, is that we have an equivalent to hadacha. What's the equivalent to hadacha? That's what we find a little later on by Siman Sadivav Sifhei. Siman Sadivav Sifhei, towards the end of Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, over there the Machaber deals with something on which hadacha wouldn't work. Chatach Kishuin, the second shel basar, mutar la'ocham b'chalav, b'greida duvad. That we have this concept called greda. of scraping something off. Greda, in other words, why? Shafilu greda in a tzarech ela hadaka ba'alma. That hadaka and greda are one and the same. On that which hadaka won't work because you're dealing with a porous surface, then you can do greda. What's the difference between greda and klipa? Greda is less than klipa. Klipa has to come off all in one shot. It's the thinnest surface that you can cut off in one shot. Like if you have a carrot, and you take a peeler, and you take a sliver of carrot, that's a klipa of the carrot. But a grater would simply be that you take the carrot and you put it on a grate and begin to grate a little. It takes off even less than the sliver. Just the outer surface. And so over here, we're concerned simply with the end. There's no bliya. Just concerned with the end. Then what the shach meant was that you can get it off via grater. And there are those achronim that say it depends. If you're talking about the crust, you could do hadach. If you're talking about the middle of the bread, you could do grata. But in any case, l'chora, sif yimol should be taken in the context of sif aleph and sif beis. So, we're moving now into the world of roteach and maleach. So, we'll stop over here. We know next time we'll finish siman. I'd rather take it all in one shot because I like to compare the halachas of one to the other.